Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The F1 Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Get ready for speed.
You just wait, Sunshine. You just wait.
Get ready for the passion.
To whom it may concern you.
Get ready for the raw emotion.
Sì, ragazzi! Grazie, grazie, grazie! Dai, forza Ferrari!
Get ready for the F1 Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts, Rod Villagomez and Cody Zeeb. That's right, it is another episode of the F1 Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He, as always, is Cody Zeeb. I am Rod Villagomez. Again, no F1 race this week. We're still gearing up. The summer break is still going on, but look, I could not have had a better just way to get into the summer break and way to keep you occupied as the F1 season continues than to find a fellow F1 fan. So what did I do? Cody says to me, hey, do you want to take a week off? And I said, hang tight, hang tight. Let's look it. So I'm searching for F1, searching for F1 gambling. Of course we come up. And then all of a sudden I run into a tweet from a guy who says, I'm a huge F1 guy. Right, I said, okay, let me look. He says, I bet Max Verstappen at whatever the odds you bet him at. And I was like, okay, he knows. Yeah. So then I click on his profile. Turns out it's Darius Butler. You know him, roaming the secondary of the Patriots, of the Colts. But now we know him as an F1 bettor. Darius, my man, thanks for joining the show.
Hey, appreciate you guys for having me, man. I'm happy to be here. This is actually my first F1 appearance on an F1 podcast or F1 show, so I'm excited about it, man.
Everybody wants you for your football prowess, and we'll get there. I promise we'll get there. But
we're football fans too. Don't worry,
we're football fans.
hey, it's preseason right now. We spoke a little earlier before we started recording. I said I don't get too excited about the preseason stuff, so I hate that we're on break right now with the F1. But now these Sundays this fall, I can't even imagine how great they're going to be for me. I got F1 before the kickoff and then football all day. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
I'm telling you. So listen, you obviously are a 9-year NFL vet. You played cornerback. You played defensive back in the league. I mean, DB was a DB. I'm sure that wasn't lost on anybody else. But yep. I got to know, how did you even get into F1 and where did that love even start for you?
Man, you know, honestly, it came out of nowhere. So the Drive to Survive series, you know, everybody started talking about it. I just kept seeing it pop. I'm a big Twitter guy. And kept seeing it pop up on Twitter, Drive to Survive, Formula One. And I grew up, you know, I played in Charlotte. I played in Indy my last 6 years. So those are big motorsports cities, you know, states over here in America, or here in America, should I say. But never really got into motorsports, like, at all. Like, and randomly, earlier this season, I want to say the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, maybe. And I just saw like the pre-race coverage like literally on the grid, you know, a few minutes before the race start. I'm like, wow, you know, I've been to one Indy 500, so I had that kind of similar experience, but just seeing it, seeing all the hype around it, hearing some of the backstories of the drivers and the teams, and then I watched the race, followed it, and ever since then, I was literally hooked. I went back to Netflix, found the series, and literally binged it from season 1 to 4, and then just caught up right where the F1 season was going, and I've been hooked ever since. So it's been that recent, like this last few months. And when I get into something, you know, I'm all in, especially if it's in the football off season.
Cody, you know something about that, don't you?
Oh yeah, that's, man, same thing here. Basically, I just got into F1 this year. Really, I've been a big NASCAR fan my entire life, and other kinds of motorsports, but F1 had always kind of been like, oh, that's that thing over there. I don't really know much about it. It's on at a weird time. Now, dude, I can't wait to wake up every Sunday morning. I got my alarm set. My wife's like, is there a race or what's going on? Like, you know,
yeah. It's absolutely. My kids can name, you know, half the drivers of the grid now, you know, the team. And that's the thing for me, you know, sports in general, you know, seeing the games and the things, that's one thing, seeing all that, but then actually knowing the individuals, knowing the teams, you know, knowing the history, the rivalries, all these different type of things, that's what makes sports. Really. So getting kind of under that helmet is really what drew me in. And then obviously the action, the racing, the, you know, 180 wheel to wheel in these turns, like it's been incredible. Seeing the teamwork, how important teamwork is, how important management is, strategy. It's been really incredible so far.
As an athlete, though, now I know there's a lot of people that say, oh, racing's not a real sport, or these guys aren't real athletes. As an athlete that's played football, can you attest to the fact that these guys are athletes as well?
Yeah, so it's funny you say that. My I got a podcast myself, the Man to Man Pod, with my former teammate Antoine Bethea, and he, you know, Super Bowl champ, Pro Bowler, played 14 years in the National Football League, and we have that debate on the show, because once I got in the F1, obviously I'm bringing it right to the pod. And he's like, man, come on, these guys, I wouldn't even consider these guys athletes. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's like, I would consider the pit crew athletes. You know, they're changing tires, they're jacking, they're doing all that. I would consider those guys athletes before I considered the guys in the car athletes. I'm like, man, you've lost your mind, man. These dudes, like the amount of stress on the adrenaline, being able to feel all those things with the car, go at those speeds, and you know, your life's on the line. You know, we play football. It's a violent game where you can break something. We've seen, you know, terrible, terrible life-changing injuries, you know, on the field. And these guys are kind of putting that same risk even more in these cars. So they definitely check the athlete box for me. But it's been a hard sell to some of the football peers, I would say, just being honest, but they definitely get all that respect from me, for sure.
And the G-force they pull too. I mean, it's not like the speeds are you know, like you're driving down the highway. These guys are pulling G's when they're turning. It's stress on the body, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you see how much weight they lose, and you know how much sweating you're in their hot car, especially depending on conditions. So yeah, for sure. And the mental, a lot about athletics and sport is how you get challenged mentally. You know, how do you think when you're tired? You know, your fundamentals. And in a car going 170, 180, 190, in a turn or something, in or out of a chicane, that can be your. You saw Leclerc, you know, spin out in the lead of a race a few races ago. So it's a lot of stress on them for, you know, 50, 60, 70 laps mentally and physically. So they check every box for me when it comes to being a top-tier athlete.
There you go. You heard it from the NFL players. So now you can't say they're not athletes, right?
Yeah. Hopefully I gave them a little more credibility, a little more street cred.
For sure.
literally street cred too. No, but look, so for F1, and it's funny because, you know, like Cody said, he and I, we're pretty big NASCAR fans, and that's sort of how this all parlayed. And like you, Darius, when we go down a rabbit hole, man, we go down a rabbit hole. Yeah. It's literally just, we'll dive headlong. In fact, Cody was writing up articles about it earlier in the season, and he said, I was reading some of them, and I thought, okay, that's great. And then it dawned on us, we looked around, and there was no actual F1 gambling podcast, because that's really the crux of this whole network, is gambling, right? So we said, well, why don't we be that start to start the F1 gambling conversation? You, my friend, have jumped into the gambling conversation too. How much of a degen are you compared to the rest of your friends?
You know what, man? honestly, I have much better winnings betting on F1 than I have anything else. And honestly, it's not even close. You know, obviously, there's so many variables in football. You know, baseball is a little easier, but football, you know, the ball bounces your way, somebody gets hurt, so many different things that can happen. With the F1 stuff, you know, you have your variables, but you know, if all things considered are close going into a race, you know, I'm going Red Bull. You know, they have one of the best drivers on the grid. They have the best car on the grid. And they have the best management coaching from my standpoint, like strategy. How do they handle pressure? How do they change strategy? How do they do things? What's the communication like from top to bottom? And you see, it's the exact opposite with Ferrari. You know, Ferrari is like everything has, and it's like, it's hard. It's hard not to bet them because they got the best car. They set the pay. I mean, I feel like Leclerc could have probably had pole in every Grand Prix this year. But, you know, at some point, they're going to just mess it up on their own. They're going to screw it up at some point. And then Mercedes is obviously consistent and I think had the best driver pairing on the grid, just to really trying to figure that car out. So just having all those different variables, the weather, I can sit and watch qualifying and see, okay, now and then going into that Grand Prix, now I can say, okay, you know, Lewis Hamilton, he's in P7 right now. Because his DRS wasn't working in Q3. Like, I know that's why he is there on the grid, but he's plus 220 to make a podium. I'm going to take that plus money. That's I'm taking that bet every time. Max was P10. That was a stretch, but once again, 70 laps, some strategy is going to be, it's going to be even bigger today. So I like them to figure out the strategy over Ferrari. And you obviously have Max Verstappen at plus 900. I will never pass that up. I don't care where he's lined up on the grid. So, you know, those type of different things. What else did I hit on? One more big one too. Lewis Hamilton fastest lap. And once again, his DRS wasn't working in Q3, but George Russell took pole in the same, you know, same car pretty much. So yeah, I'll take a flyer on plus 1200 Lewis Hamilton fastest lap. Like, yeah, give me that. So, you know, you don't get those in the NFL. You don't find those in the NFL. So I'm just paying attention. And, you know, I've been having more success with the F1 betting than any other sport so far. And it's early, so maybe it's some beginner's luck. So we'll see how it all continues on in the second half of the season.
Man, I think we need to have you on the show because I'm pretty sure everything you just talked about is exactly how our first episode went. We had the conversation about you can't trust Ferrari. They're fast. We actually picked Leclerc to win the pole. Because we said they're going to come out of the box fast, but you can't trust them in the race. Pick Verstappen to win. And then later on, that was earlier in the week before he obviously qualified P10. And then, like you said, the odds dropped crazy. And we were still reinforced in our Discord chat and everything. We're like, hammer him at this price. Like, you're never going to see him at this price.
Yeah.
We had the Hamilton fastest lap thing. We're all over Mercedes. So, yeah, when I was looking through your Twitter posts and stuff about F1 and I was like, I told Rod, I go, this guy bet all the same things we talked about on the first episode. It's awesome, man.
Yep. You know, I took some other ones that I lost. Obviously, I had like a Sands. Maybe I think Sands fastest lap as well because he's been flying ever since he had to, you know, get his upgrades. Who else? It was George Russell. He, you know, he was on pole. He's been outstanding, I think, all season long. So I think he was plus 300 to win the race. Before lights out, so I took some other ones too and ended up losing. But the plus money, I mean, it was the Hungarian Grand Prix was one of everything kind of lined up perfect, and that's what happened. Something happens, but with F1, a lot of times some of these things happen throughout that weekend. So maybe some mistakes are made earlier as opposed to the second quarter of a football game, and I can't change my bet. So now you kind of get a little more of what's going on behind the scenes before lights out, and obviously you can't control, you know, what or when it happens. But the odds are definitely more in my favor with this F1 stuff. And it makes the race more exciting, you know, just like betting does with damn near anything. It makes it more stressful, makes it more exciting. But it's fun, man. And I think we're early on, obviously, you know, as far as even the betting space, this is the first F1 betting podcast I've, you know, heard about even. And I know I'm early on from, you know, from like the football side of things talking about it. But I think, you know, 3 years from now, I would be surprised at all if F1 is like the second most popular sport behind football here. That wouldn't shock me.
And it's crazy because we said it earlier too. It's kind of like soccer in a way where it's the rest of the world, they love it. Like they're soccer like all over the place. F1's kind of the same thing. Like all the world loves F1 and we're still behind. Like we're kind of catching up.
Behind.
Yeah. So I don't know. I would love to see that happen because that means that there's more people like us that want to talk about F1 gambling. And then maybe that grows the sport here. Cause look, ever since we started watching it, ever since I started watching it, I got like, my eyes were like, wow, this is amazing.
And you guys have more experience because you followed other motorsports. So it's a lot of things that I'm sure are carry over. But for me, it's literally like a brand new, like, because I, you know, you grew up, you hear about NASCAR. I even had the video game back in the day. I raced with Jeff Gore and Earnhardt. But it's kind of the same thing. Like, I don't know the guys, really. I don't know necessarily the story. I'm sure people, if you follow the sport, you do. But being that they had this, they did an incredible job with the Netflix series. So Liberty Media, obviously you guys know, but they bought F1 back in 16 and had that investment and have just, and they just keep doing more and more, you know, behind the scenes, social engagement. Once again, showing the faces of these people more, you know, Lewis Hamilton is now part owner of the Broncos. Like it's such a, you know, even you see a picture with Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, David Beckham and Lewis Hamilton. It's like, oh, you know, I've heard the Lewis Hamilton name, but I didn't even know that's how he looks. Like, and it's just, it's cool, man. They're doing a great job with it. I think the personalities are pretty, you know, they're good. You know, the rivalries. Ferrari, I literally saw all up and down my time from Joel Embiid to random coaches to what the hell is Ferrari doing? So I think it'll continue to catch on. It's fun. It's and you see the brands that are involved with the sport. You know, I think that matters too when you see some of the biggest brands in the world, you know, plastered all over the cars. I mean, it's fast cars, you know, it's cool places, cool tracks. So I think it'll continue to grow in a major way over here.
Yeah. And that's one place too, where sports gambling becoming such a big thing. And like, that's something this network has been around, but now, I mean, we've got 20 plus shows about gambling, about everything. We've got a NASCAR show. We have this one, there's soccer, there's baseball, there's ultimate frisbee, whatever, all kinds of stuff. And like
a lot of DJs out there, man.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's how you get people into these sports too. And it helps because like you said, it gives you like some skin in the game. Like, it's fun to root for those guys and watch them and have your favorites and stuff. But when you can be like, oh wow, how fast was that pit stop? Is that going to be the fastest one of the day? Like all these races within the race is what we always say. It makes it so much more fun and just adds to the already, it's exciting. They're doing 200 miles an hour and then they slow down and make a hairpin turn and they're back 200 miles an hour. Like that's exciting. But then you got skin in the game too. And it just, it all comes together and makes it even more exciting.
So and it's transparent too. Like as far as the sport, like you don't, there is no other sport that you get that type of insight into what's going on. Like, you know, Sands in the middle of a battle to take a spot and his team is in his ear like, hey, pit, box. And he's like, shut up. Like, not now. Like, you don't hear that. You may see Tom Brady get upset on the sideline or see some, but you don't know exactly kind of what's going on. I went and got F1 TV so that I can see all the different, you know, if I just want to watch, you know, Checo, the next four laps, I can do that. And they do a great job with being able to, in the archives, being able to go back and watch. So that's what I do. When whatever race is coming up next, I'll go back and watch that Grand Prix from the previous year. You know, see drivers on the course, teams, things that happen. See, you know, sometimes the updates that they've made to the track and things like that. But it's all they're doing a great job with it, with all the things around it that's going to help it grow as well.
Damn, you really do go all in, don't you? Like
I'm looking in. Yeah, I'm
fully invested, man. Yeah. I love it.
Especially so, you know, I played in the NFL 9 years. And really never saw myself getting into the media. Like I maybe a coach if I was going to stay involved with the game. But as I've continued to, you know, do things in the media, it's like I've been fortunate enough to kind of do, you know, what I want to do and kind of talk about things, how I want to talk about them. So with football, there aren't other sports that like engage me to that level where I want to talk about it all the time. Like basketball, playoff time, I'm all in. Like I have my teams, I'm all in, the players, the drama. But outside of football, it's a long time where, you know, nothing really gets me up like that. So finding this kind of was like, oh, this is something that can hold me over. And you know, and then even go into football season, and my brother's like literally, nobody else in my family will jump on the F1 train. They're like, they just can't get. I went and bought the video game. Like, come on, let's play the game. We can learn it that way. Nobody else is jumping on just yet. My kids will entertain it, but nobody's jumping on yet. But yeah, I go all in on things, especially if you have me engaged, and it does. You know, it's a sport. Like I said, I can watch it from the practice to the qualifying to the actual game. I can hear because I'm used to, you know, going on the sideline and talking to coaches and hearing the adjustments and then knowing when, okay, as a player, I got to overcome my coaching. Like, that's how I feel like with the Ferrari drivers. Like, great drivers, great car, but they got to overcome their management a lot of the times. And so it's different. It's cool from that aspect. You're used to obviously one version of sports, and then now seeing it this way, seeing a great driver like Lewis Hamilton. A lot of times I hear, like, at least from my observation, he'll kind of take control a little bit and say, hey, you know, I feel great. Like, I feel good on these tires. I think I can, you know, give him a little more run. And then, you know, Toto may come back, all right, cool, you know, box George or however it goes. So I'm just seeing all those different dynamics of it. Like you said, the race within the race, it makes it a lot more interesting from a lot of angles.
So you're having trouble finding people to talk about F1 with?
Unless it's Twitter. You know, when I go and speak on any other show, and I go on my guy Pat McAfee show, Jim Rome, wherever I go, my Twitter engagement is, hey, man. And even Jim Rome always asked me about, hey, next time you're going, Pat, talk about some F1. Talk about this. My podcast, I can talk about it for 5 minutes, and, you know, 20% of the engagement is going to be about F1. So there is an appetite out there for it. It's just not that close to me yet, but I'm sure – As the years go on, as the months go on, it'll be more. And then, you know, as I think if we get an American driver, I think that'll obviously help it. The more Grand Prix that we get over here, we got Vegas, we got Miami for the next, you know, 9 years. So that's going to help the growth over here. So it's going to be a lot of things that go into it that'll help it grow. But the appetite is out there. Like I said, it's just not in my circle quite yet. Hey, but I'm working on it.
What if F1 gave you a call? What if they said, hey, we want you to do something. We want you to drive. We want you to, you know, be in the pit crew. What would you do that?
You know, I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't drive. I wouldn't drive. No pit crew. But as far as being on the pit wall, you know, being in some type of strategy, being somewhere in that, you know, the management side of things, because there is a lot of parallels, I think, even in business. You know, you go into business and you go in boardrooms and you see how CEOs and executives operate. It's a lot like how coaches and players, and it's about communication from the top to the bottom. It's accountability, it's the culture, it's all these different things. Like, those things that are in sports, they kind of go into everything. So I think I could definitely add value to somewhere. And once again, it's exciting. It's hot. Like, I like that high stress. Like, I like to have my, you know, my blood pumping, my heart pumping when something's going on. So I wouldn't be opposed to that at all.
Well, if you ever need a place to talk F1, or especially F1 gambling, open invitation to join us anytime. For sure.
I appreciate that.
You can always get your F1 fix here.
Absolutely. I appreciate that.
So, speaking of which, do you have time to stick around for like another 10 minutes or so, and we could talk about some futures? All right, let's do it. We're going to come back from the break. When we do, we're going to talk futures with Darius Butler, huge F1 guy. And yeah, he played in the NFL too, but this guy is all about F1 right now. This is all his deal. So we'll be right back after this. As always, let's tell you about WinBet. Are you thinking of joining WinBet? Now is the perfect time, because new customers like you are going to get a $100 free bet if you bet $100 yourself. You're betting on baseball? All you got to do is check out WinBet, because their reduced juice in baseball games makes them the perfect place to bet MLB. Plus, the WinBet casino is always open, 24 hours a day, and you can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. There's so much to choose from. All you got to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough. WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. You tired of having 1,000 tabs open as you're researching and trying to put all your bets together for the week? Well, stop doing that. Have one tab open. Which tab is that, you say? it's oddstrader.com. Yes, oddstrader.com puts all of the books in one place for you. Not only that, it gives you the head-to-head matchups. It gives you research material. It gives you all the tools you need to become a smarter better. You're already smart, but you can become smarter. That's the way the world works. Learn more. Have Odds Trader do all of the research for you. They've got handicapping, play-by-play updates, live scoring and bet tracking, all the stuff that you need to win your bets. It's at oddstrader.com/bluewire. Literally the only place I go anymore to shop for lines. Odds Trader, it's the number one site for all of your game day bets. All right, back with more here on the F1 Gambling Podcast. Our special guest today is none other than 9-year NFL bet, Darius Butler. But he is an F1 fan, just like all of us, just like you. We're talking F1. So, Darius, Cody and I, we were talking a lot about how the futures bets are just absolutely whack right now because we know that there's only like one or two dominant drivers so far that have won almost all of the races. So it kind of makes the futures market a little muddy. And when you look at this, what is your initial thought? I mean, Max Verstappen, 1,200, minus 1,200, Charles Leclerc, plus 800. Like, that's a gigantic swing. What are we even doing with this, Darius?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a foregone conclusion at this point. Like I said, if I put it in three buckets or three boxes, the driver, the car, the management, you know, the team. And if you look at Red Bull, you know, they got a freaking green check mark across the board. I think Mercedes, once again, I think they have the best driver pairing. Okay car, you know, pretty good car, just, you know, haven't really figured, it's consistent, but it's just not dominant. And then the management is, I think, is really good as well. But that car, and then Ferrari, once again, you have good drivers. I think the best car on the grid this year. I think they built the best vehicle, but then the management has just been horrible. So I think Red Bull, I think they're obviously going to get the back-to-back constructors in, I think, the Drivers' Championship this year. If anybody came out and like won it and like shocked the world, I think it would be somebody from Mercedes before Ferrari, is crazy as that probably sounds.
I mean, you're looking at what Ferrari or what Mercedes has. Lewis Hamilton plus 4,000, Russell plus 4,500. Like, is that even tempting enough for you to sprinkle anything on?
You know what? Once again, I'm a rookie. I am a rookie. I'm probably a drive to survive rookie. This is my first season, so just knowing what I know, I would sprinkle a plus 4,000 on a 7-time world champ. Because they come out of this break and maybe Mercedes just figures it out, and you know, everyone else has had, you know, power unit issues or these type of issues or that. You know, Max early on, if he was finishing a race, he was winning it. It was like two or three where he couldn't even finish it. So it's worth the sprinkle for sure. With Lewis, I wouldn't do it with George this year, but I'm with Lewis. It's worth the sprinkle. And even, I mean, the plus 800 with Leclerc, maybe Ferrari just goes on whatever this summer break, figure things out. And could they win 6 Grand Prix in a row? Yeah, they could. Like, Charles could do that. Carlos was even flying, you know. So could they do it? Yeah, but Red Bull, I mean, they just got it all figured out this year, it looks like.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. I think, obviously, it's pretty far out of reach at this point. But,
yeah,
crazy things could happen if all of a sudden – Red Bull starts having problems like they did early on in the season. Leclerc starts ripping off wins. I guess at such ridiculous odds, put a little bit on it. Be fun to sweat it out at least as the season goes on, just in case, right?
Yes, yeah, I mean, it's sad. Like I literally feel bad. I feel bad for the guy. I'm like watching. I'm like, man, like, you know, I know, like I said, I don't know a ton about the history of it, but I know Ferrari, you know, it's obviously had dominant cars, dominant drivers, but they also have kind of screwed it up for people in the past as well. And just seeing it firsthand, weekend and weekend out, it's like, man, like, this is bad. Like, I literally have tweeted a couple times, like, look, if Ferrari had Bill Belichick running the show with no F, I don't know if Bill Belichick even knows what Formula One is, but if you just gave him a freaking 2-week crash course, he could manage Ferrari better than what's going on, in my opinion. Now, I could be dead wrong, but from a a rookie's eye, beginner's eye looking in. It's bad. It's been rough.
But what do you
maybe, maybe your phone will ring this week and they can get you.
Bring me. I can help. Can't get any worse. I'll tell you that much.
But would Belichick treat his drivers like his running backs and you just don't know who's going to drive the car from week to week? That would be the only question, right?
It's the thing, though, you know, all that, you know, let them race and do all these. Look, Bill's going to make a call. And one thing Belichick always said is he got in front of the team and always said, hey, anything I do is for the best of the team. You know, it may not be for the best for me, or it may not be the best for the quarterback or the running back or the linebacker, but it's going to be the best decision for the team. So that would be the guy we want running the show. He's got seven world titles too, I think.
Six is a head coach, couple as a coordinator.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, since we're on the topic, I'm a huge Patriots fan, so I got to ask you, what was it like to play for and just be around Bill Belichick? I mean, we see him in the media.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of reserved. I feel like behind closed doors, he's got like a sense of humor, something, or is he just the same all the time?
No, you know what? He's Bill. And he has a dry sense of humor, but he is hilarious. He does care about, you know, the people that come in and out of the building. He runs a tight ship, but it's very, I would say, militant. If I had to compare it to anything, when you go into his office, when you look at his bookshelf, and his father was a military man, so he has a lot of those characteristics about him and the way that he leads. He kind of wants to remove the feelings from it and make it about, okay, it's about, he was the analytics before analytics existed, like the type of stuff that we were going over as far as where the ball will be thrown or what are they going to do in this situation, or if the wind is blowing over 18 miles an hour, like all of these things he was factoring into to gameplay, series by series. Week to week, we would change drastically. And the level of accountability, you know, I've never been around anything else like it. You know, it was four things that was on the door that you read on the way into the building. It was four things on the other side of the door that you read when leaving the building. And everybody did that consciously, subconsciously every day. And if you weren't, you know, you come in there at the first meeting as a rookie, like, or as a free agent or whatever, when you first get in there, and he'll ask you, hey, you know, tell me one of the things that's on the door, or tell me what's the quote on the wall right there, or this or that. So you're just always on your P's and Q's, and that's why they're able to adjust so quickly as a team. And you know, that's the toughest thing to do, is to have everybody on the same page, being able to adjust and pivot mid-game sometimes with the amount of hours that we have in that building throughout the week. So he does the best job at that. And then, you know, having a guy like Tom Brady be at the top and buy in and be the type of teammate, type of player that he was for two decades, it all worked. And he's wearing that hat as a GM and a head coach. And he's completely unique. He's Bill Belichick. You know, he's a unicorn. So it was awesome being around him.
Nice. And that's probably what makes him a fantastic F1 coordinator, F1 coach.
Exactly.
Because he can adjust on the fly, because racing's all about that, man. It's about reading the course. It's about reacting to stuff that happens. Tire goes down. Tires aren't working because of the conditions. Like, yeah. And look, your message, too, that was kind of perfect, is how to approach betting. You know, the type of preparation, the type of work. It's fun. But, like, if you want to be successful at it, if you want to be good at it, you have to factor in all of those things, the weather, the teams, all everything that you had laid out, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, I like money. So when I bet my money, I work hard for my money, I you know, something has to be sacrificed for me to bet. So I want to win. You know, I don't take feelings out of, oh, I like this guy or don't like this guy. And being a new F1 fan, I almost feel like I'm not supposed to like Max Verstappen. Like, I feel like he's supposed to be the villain, but he's like a football player when I see him. Like, he drives like a football, you know, with razor blades on his elbows, as they say. He's passionate when something's not going how he wants it to go, or how, like, you can hear the passion in his voice. You can hear the sense of urgency. And he wants to win at all costs. Like, that's the guy I want to be in a foxhole with. Or that's the driver I want to send out in my car. So, you know, when I'm betting, if I have an opportunity to bet on him plus 900 anywhere on the damn grid, I'm taking that chance. And the same thing goes with You know, a master of the craft like Lewis Hamilton. Like, you know, you see how he adjusts and, you know, how consistent they've been as far as even like George Russell finishing top five in that car all year. And then Lewis kind of just been better and stacking up five podiums in a row, kind of, you know, out of nowhere. So it just consistently great. So, you know, guys like that. And then, you know, you bet on teams, you bet on conditions, and things along those lines. So the preparation is fun because I like watching. I like watching the qualifying. I like watching. I'm not a big practice guy, but I will watch, you know, the last full practice, and then I watch three rounds of qualifying, and then I feel pretty good about, you know, where I am going into the Grand Prix on Sunday.
Love it. Love it. Red Bull's at minus 1,000 to win in the factory, and then Ferrari's next at plus 700, but then Mercedes at plus 1,200. So, you know, we're talking futures, and we're talking about what to look forward to, and yeah, minus 1,000. That's a lot of juice to drink there.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I'd rather just watch it. That's not even worth it, you know. Is there any other futures?
I mean, Alfa Romeo at 100-1, like.
What do you think? I actually won some money on them a couple weekends ago too on the first car to retire. Yeah. I literally and it happened with like three laps left to go. It was probably like plus maybe 650 or something like that. But I said, you know what, I'll get that. And then literally three laps ago, I think Bottas ended up not finishing the race. But yeah, they should have a futures for like who will finish four.
Right.
Because that McLaren, you know, Alpine, that battle looks like it should be pretty tight. And I'm interested to see how Danny Ricciardo comes out the second half of the season too, if he can kind of figure that car out and put on a performance on his way out of McLaren. So it's that's a good thing about F1 too, is there is something to pay attention to kind of all the way up and down the grid if you're really into the sport and into what's going on behind the scenes, so which I am. So it's pretty fun.
And that's another thing where the gambling helps too, because we've had head-to-head matchups where you're watching the guys that are racing 16th and 17th. Like, usually that's not that exciting for most people, but you're paying attention to the little pylon on the side there, because you want that guy to stay in front of him, or you're like, get around him, come on, pass him.
Yep. So or somebody, you know, trying to get points. Yeah. You may have bet someone to get points or someone to finish top six.
Or like you said, yeah, retire from the race early.
Yep.
Any of those things. It keeps it exciting throughout the field.
Definitely. Yeah. How many cars will finish? It's
yeah,
a lot, man.
Yeah, that's one I've hammered a lot this season. Was like beginning of the season, there was like almost every race. I think it was like the first 8 of 9 or something where over 17 and a half or 16 and a half cars were finishing.
Okay.
Like hammering that. So it was fun. But yeah, as far as the futures market goes, that's where we're hoping F1 gambling keeps growing and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the market right now, you're not going to lay -1,000, -1,200 on Max to win. But like, well, give me Lewis Hamilton.
Spot.
Give me Lewis Hamilton over half a win the rest of the season. Like, I want to bet that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a good, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Those are the kind of things that we're hoping that we get here in the next.
And we will. We will. And even with you, I know it's not going on. And I work with a different sports book, but you can look at the props pre-race and know that they're not even allocating, I guess, enough attention or algorithms or people to this, because I'm like, Lewis Hamilton plus 1,200. Like, you kidding me? Like, yeah, why would, like, that's a gimme. Now, Max winning that race, you know, he's never won a race, you know, outside of P4. So, you know, him, that was, I guess, fair odds at that being that high, plus 900. But, I mean, yeah, I think Red Bull to win was plus 750 going into, I said, I might as well just take the 900 the night before, but I know it moved, I think, up to 750 on Sunday. But it's always something to find. I think hopefully it continues to grow. I know it will, because more eyes will continue to go to the sport over here. And it's a European sport, and they've been betting in Europe forever. So I'm surprised that they haven't, you know, moved it over here quickly, but I'm sure it's coming.
What is your favorite bet to make? What I mean, I like fastest pit stops. To me, that always feels like a fun bet to make, and we hit that one with Red Bull in the Hungarian Grand Prix. So,
fastest lap. I like the fastest lap, especially if I can get some odds. You know, I like them all. It really depends on what's going on at race. Like, sometimes I'll get someone, I say, hey, you know, this is a good top six. And FanDuel was putting together some great super boosts where it maybe plus two something, but it would hit, like they took them off because it was hitting too often. They were like, it was almost too easy to be like, you know, one of the Ferraris to get on podium, one of the Mercedes to finish top six, and then like Max to win or something like that, or Max on podium too. So yeah, take that every time. Oh, yeah, so yeah. It really depends on kind of what's going on, but fastest lap is always good. And then top six. The points, I haven't been successful with the points. With the points finish, and those
are points ones are tough answer. Just because, like,
yeah,
it seems to change. Like, the guys you're going to get enough of a value on to bet change exactly. So much week in and week out, it makes it tough. Exactly. Fastest lap, though, has been I hit Lewis Hamilton, the British GP, I hit him 33-1 in my article for fastest Ooh. Lap. And then this past week or this past race, Hungarian Grand Prix, I think he was like 850 plus 850 or something.
Yeah,
hit that again. So yeah, and that's the
I
thing.
Got
too,
him plus like, 1200 the night before.
Oh, nice.
A fastest
yeah,
lap.
Even better, yep. Dude. That's great. Yeah, but that's something too. Is like people are like, well, Max Verstappen just wins every race. How do you bet on that? And it's like, no, there's so much more to bet on in the race. Like, and that's another thing we're trying to just bring to people's attention and show everybody that, like, again, back to the race within the race, like. So
and it's so
things.
Hard to. That's where I'm struggling to get people in because every, you know, because I live tweet a lot of times throughout the Grand Prix. And, you know, at the end of the race, it's like I got to retweet Red Bull. Max wins again. It's like, oh, shocker. Max Verstappen wins again. So it's hard to get people into it and kind of understand everything else that's going on with the race as well. But like I said, it's got to be easy to be a Max Red Bull fan at least right
oh,
now.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he literally they just go out there and they win. You know,
kinda
so
like being a Patriots fan for the last
exactly time. Very very similar. And I would compare compare Mercedes to Patriots because they just dominated for so long. So maybe maybe these Red Bull are like the Rams. You know,
there you go,
shiny
yep.
guys
out every once
on the block. Yep. So but they're doing it, man. It's exciting to watch, even if you know Max is up there. Freaking celebrate every weekend.
Well, yeah, it's still fun. There's so much within it. And watching him drive from P10 last race, like that was exciting as hell. Like he didn't get a start right up front. He had to work for it. And
yeah,
someone put in the work. He did it. He proved to you he doesn't just have the fastest car. He's also a great driver who can maneuver his way and get there and get it done. So that made it even better with
you knew going into that. Now I did not expect him to win that comfortably. Like I'm gonna take a chance. I literally had to go and I don't really know, you know, how many kilometers and all these things, but I literally said, okay, P10, if it's more than, you know, 50 something laps, I'm betting he like Red Bull will figure it out. And I saw 70 laps. Oh yeah.
Plenty of time.
I'm taking that. It's more than enough time for him to get around that track and make, and now going into it, I'm sure they have a plan and a good one at that. And I think, didn't they have the two fastest pit stops too?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause Perez had the 2.1 and then they had Verstappen at the 2.3. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like, you got to bet on the best player, the best teams, and even in the tough situations. So
and the teamwork aspect of it, right there, like it, the team with the pit stop like that helps him, accomplish all of that and get them.
So it's been good to watch, man. But yeah, I can't wait to jump back on with you guys, especially you know going into a Grand Prix or coming out of one to talk about. This is going to be a really fun. Season for me, you know, second half of the season for obviously F1, and then with the NFL, that crossover is going to be great for me.
Hell yeah. Hey, so look, you host a show as well. I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to pitch where they can find you. That way our listeners can gravitate towards you. You and Antoine Bethea hosting a show together. That's a hell of a... And look, I just want to also say congrats to your daughter for making the freshman volleyball team. Congrats
Appreciate
to her.
You.
That's a big deal, man. As a dad, huh? It's got to feel good.
Oh, that's a hell of a deal. Yeah, it's big, and I haven't been, you know, pushing her too hard in that direction. She did taekwondo for a while, got a black belt in there, and this is her first real experience in team sports, and I just think it's so much value in playing team sports as a young kid. So she's excited about it. She's committed, and it's going to be fun. So I'm happy for her. And as far as the podcast, yeah, like you said, I co-hosted with my former teammate and good friend, Antoine Bethea. And, you know, mostly it's about sports and you know, what's kind of going on around the world as well. And we really give the perspective of, you know, he played 14 years, I played 9 years. So we give an honest, transparent perspective of, like, the athlete and then kind of the former athlete and maybe how a coach would feel about something as well. So now that football season is kicking off, Obviously, it's going to be heavy football talk going into it, but we talk about a little bit of everything. So the Man to Man pod, and we can you can find us on YouTube. We go live. We actually live stream Monday and Thursday, 11 a.m. Eastern time to noon. And then on Saturday, we put out a pick show on Saturday morning where we pick every NFL game that Sunday afternoon. So tune in. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to listen to guys who have done this before, have played the game that you'd love to watch and approach it from an honest standpoint. I love it. So follow him on Twitter at Darius J. Butler as well. Fun follow. I mean, if nothing else, you're just going to have fun. And then as an F1 fan, you're going to even love it more. And he's going to love being able to talk to you because you're going to want to talk F1 and not football like everybody else, right?
Yep.
All right, Darius Butler, ladies and gentlemen. Again, follow him on Twitter at Darius J. Butler. Darius, brother, thanks so much for joining us. Cody, I know you want to say goodbye one more time, especially as a Patriots fan.
Yeah, dude, we really appreciate you jumping on with us. Thank you so much. It's been a good time. Obviously, you know what you're doing, know what you're talking about. So open invitation anytime you want to join us, especially right before a Grand Prix and give us some picks. We'd love to have you.
How do you feel about your pass this year, man? A lot of question marks for that offense. I know you – are you nervous over there? You think they're going to figure it out?
I'm nervous. It's not as easy. Oh, beautiful. Dude, that's my favorite logo.
Yeah, the Pat they'll be going back to this year.
Yes, I love it. No, man, you know, it used to be like you just trust Bill and you trust Tom and it's going to happen. You don't have to worry about it. Now it's not as easy. I have high hopes for Mac Jones, though. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. I think he knows what he's doing. Bill, I mean, people are always questioning Bill. Why did he draft this guy? Why did he do this? Why did he do that? I just look at it. I'm like, he's Bill fucking Belichick, man.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. Like, just trust him. I don't care what he does. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. He'll figure it out. So,
yeah,
I don't ever worry too much for the Patriots.
Hey, you've been spoiled, man. I wouldn't worry too much either. I think they'll figure it out.
As a Niner fan, I'm just over here crying in whatever I've got right now. I'm just saying it's been rough. But, yeah, it's definitely been a pleasure having you on. Darius, this is going to happen again. I'm just going to let our listeners know we're going to have you on at least for another Grand Prix. So this won't be the last time we talk to you, and we'll definitely follow you on Twitter. Appreciate your time, and look forward to just sweating out the rest of the season with you, man.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Run Your Pool is the home of competition. It's bringing sports fans and their social circles together to compete, connect, and make every game matter more. Run Your Pool offers every game type under the sun, from Pick'em and Survivor to Fantasy Pools. It's a one-stop shop for sports gaming with customizable features that you don't get anywhere else. Plus, we've teamed up with Run Your Pool to host a pool for our official SGPN NFL Survivor contest. It's free to enter, and some amazing prizes will be announced. So hop on in and reserve your spot now over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/survivor. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/survivor. Let's talk about Sleeper. It is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I know I use it for mine. Cody uses it for his. The SGPN uses it for all of theirs. And they just passed 4 million users, and now you can win on Sleeper by playing their new over-under game first in any sport. Choose two or more players that you like, then pick the over-under. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. With the NFL season right around the corner, Sleeper is the first sports contest game built into the fantasy experience. And the main reason why I'm excited about over-under on Sleeper, it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests and we can all play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and, more importantly, copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. So stop what you're doing right now. Download the Sleeper app and play their new over-under game and have fun with your friends and make some money on the mobile phone by joining our listener group at sleeper.com/SGP. Sleeper's going to automatically match your first deposit up to $100. Again, go to sleeper.com/SGP. You'll get a $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode does not actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well be giving away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and all sorts of other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. That means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's literally that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on your speeds. So your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for you with a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you got to do, tap one button, you're instantly protected. You won't even know that it's on. So stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with a brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP. Use the promotional code SGP. Claim that 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. All right, Cody. Now they're just back with us.
Just us, unfortunately.
Just us. Guys.
Man, what a cool guy, though. Darius, so glad he was able to come on with us. He was super cool, knew what he was talking about. He's a true degen, just like all of us are. So awesome to be able to talk to him and have those conversations with him. So I'm really glad he came on with us. I really appreciate him taking his time out of his evening to do that with us.
Speaks the language so very well, doesn't he? He's like, again, he just jumped right in and sounded, I mean, look, pretty soon it's just going to be Cody Zeeb and Darius Butler. So,
No, we need you here to steer the ship, Rod. He can be the third part of the show for sure.
I love it. Well, again, hopefully you guys enjoyed that as much as we did. That was, I mean, I've done a lot of talking to some folks, but like the fact that he was so passionate about it and that he's a new fan just like us, basically. So it's sort of like we're all in this growing together. And I mean, again, this will not be the last time you hear his voice on this show for sure. So we're definitely going to have him back. He's down to come back. And I got to tell you, you guys are just going to have fun listening to Darius Butler on the F1 Gambling Podcast, you know?
For sure, yeah. And thanks for throwing me under the bus saying I didn't want to record this week. Jeez, Ron. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, hey,
but listen. No, we were, I mean, seriously, it's summer break for F1, and it's, you know, we were looking at the futures market, and it's like, what are we going to talk about? You can't bet on this stuff. And then Rod struck gold and got Darius to come on with us. So big props to you. I appreciate you for getting that done and not giving me a week off. I didn't really want one anyways. I just wanted to make sure we had something to talk about. So it's an off week for F1, you know, for a couple of weeks. So what better to do than listen to a former NFL player that's digging it, new to the sport. Again, you know, some people listening to this, maybe you've been an F1 fan for a long time. Sorry, we're late to the ship. I wish I'd been on it years before, but here we are now. Like him, we're dove fully head on into this. We love it. We're here to live and breathe it just like you and grow the sport. And that's, again, like we talked about, what gambling can do is grow the sport even more. We've seen it with NASCAR. I was talking to Ryan Kramer the other day, you know, one of the big bosses at SGP, and he said he just couldn't believe how much of a market and how much of a want there is for this motorsports betting, and he didn't realize that there was such a market for it. And there is, and we've talked to people that have been F1 fans for a long time that are listening, that have enjoyed it. People that didn't know what F1 hardly was before, listening and enjoying it, getting into it. So we're glad to have everybody on board. It's awesome when you get guys like that, that have a name, that have a reach, that get the word out there and you know, get these people to break down and get into it and realize how much fun it is, how awesome it is.
And we're just going to continue to go at it too. I mean, we've got still a full, we're in August now. This season runs to the end of November. So we have got plenty of episodes for you over the next few months. And it begins in a couple of weeks with the Belgium Grand Prix. And that is in August, the 26th through the 28th. And then it goes and moves on to the Netherlands in September. A little bit of a break there too. Then September 9th and 11th in Italy, then Singapore, then Japan, and then the United States. That's the Miami one, correct?
That's COTA in Texas.
Oh, that is COTA. You know what? I was like, I recognize this track, and that's COTA.
Yep.
So it is COTA, and then there's Mexico, Brazil, and then Abu Dhabi finishes up the season. So, again, man, there's plenty of opportunities for us to talk, and these tracks, go do yourself a favor. Go to the F1 website. Go pull up their schedule. And look at these tracks. Literally, no two are the same, and they all just look so completely different from the next, which just leads you to So many different betting strategies.
Dude, I'm looking at this Netherlands track.
Oh, yeah.
That's a shape of track I've never seen. I mean, it's all over the place. I love it. There's a super, super long straightaway. Then some sharp-ass hairpin turns. It wraps around itself.
I won't tell you what it looks like. Go look at it for yourself. Although Italy looks like a shoe, which kind of is indicative of the actual, or maybe a sock or a foot or something. Singapore looks like it's got a crossover. Yeah, there's a lot of great tracks coming up and so much fun to break all this stuff down for you. But again, we'll be back in a couple of weeks to break down all of Belgium for you as that takes place on the 26th. So, I mean, as we look back, it's what's happened earlier in the season. Again, it's been a lot of Verstappen. If you're just joining us, like if you're brand new to the F1 Gambling Podcast, obviously we break down week to week what our bets are. But again, since it's an off week, we kind of have to take a look back at what we've done so we can set up our bets for the future. But it's been a lot of, like Darius was saying, it's been a lot of Red Bull. It's been a lot of Verstappen. It's been a lot of Leclerc, can't too.
Ferrari.
Yeah, Ferrari.
A lot of that. But yeah, I mean, like we mentioned when we were talking to him, if you are new to the show, first of all, thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening after he's gone. But no, there is so many other things. Races within the race is the best way to put it, that we can bet on, that we can hit on. We're only a couple episodes into this. I've been writing articles all season about it. There's plenty of other bets you can get in on. And again, you're watching that battle for 16th, 17th place. You're watching that first car fall out of the race. All these other things going on besides just what's going on up front, and it just keeps it all so much more exciting.
Really does, too. And again, we're going to be here to break it all down for you. You know, I think we'll wrap up the show, Cody, because next week, I have a good idea for next week. And you trust me now, right?
I trusted you before, Rod, but I definitely trust you even more now.
Well, Cody, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media as we wrap things up?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter, @Husker_Zeeb. Got a ton of stuff out right now. NASCAR DFS article just dropped today. AFC North division preview just dropped today. I pick every team over under, give you a winner, toss in a Super Bowl winner in there. So definitely check that out. All kinds of fun stuff over there. And also the show we have, if you're listening to this in the NASCAR Gambling Podcast feed, we now have our own F1 Gambling Podcast feed. The SGPN store has a merch shop. We've got a pretty sweet, awesome F1 Gambling Podcast shirt in there. More merch to come here soon. And the show has a Twitter account also, so make sure to give that a follow, and that is @F1 Gambling Pod.
That is correct. All good things, my friends, as we are only 3 episodes in of this show. It feels like it's more, but that's because me and Cody have done like 40 episodes of the NASCAR Gambling Podcast, so even still, more to come, guys. Again, so thankful to all of you for making this ride so much fun already, 3 episodes in. Follow me on Twitter @RJVillaGomez. Find all my stuff on the Sports Gambling Podcast website as well as the Sportsbook Review. Just a lot of stuff happening and more F1 to come. Next week, we're not taking a week off, my friends. We don't take weeks off here. Again, join the feed. Join us in Discord. The Sports Gambling Podcast Discord. There's an F1 channel in there as well. Again, get in there, talk to us, have some fun talking F1. Maybe we can get Darius to join the F1 Discord channel, and he can.
Hey, he's looking for people to talk F1 gambling with.
I know a place, Darius.
I can't think of a better place.
I know a place. Get in there, talk with us. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, for Cody, for me, for Darius, thank you so much for joining the F1 Gambling Podcast. We'll see you next time. Let's go racing and let it ride.